I have a couple of handkerchiefs in my pocket. One of them is for somebody who has pancreatic cancer. And they just found out that it's not getting better in the natural. It's for somebody else who needs new kidneys. So I'm going to put both of these in my pocket. But I'd like you, if you don't mind, just reach your hands forward right now in Jesus' name. My core values, like so many here, are the Word of God. And it said that they took pieces of cloth and they gave them to the sick folks and they were healed. Bible also says that a shadow, as Peter walked down the street, was healing people. So I thank you and praise you right now. These two handkerchiefs will make contact with those that need physical healing in their body. And I pray that it won't just be healing, it'll be a miracle for both of them. I thank you and praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we've been talking for quite a bit of time about prayer, and it's not the first time I've spoken about prayer, but it's a powerful, powerful tool that's made available for you and I. Now, I'll make a statement, and it's a Pastor Paulism, fair enough? Prayer can never take the place of the Word. There are some churches, and I know some of the pastors, where their focal point is prayer. Everything is prayer, 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 but there's never the word, 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 or saving souls. You understand? There needs to be a simple word called the balance. And say balance. Now, if you and I ate the kind of food we'd like to really eat, we'd be all out of balance. Am I right? But if we have to eat natural foods that are balanced for us, there needs to be a balance in our spiritual life. A church needs to have balance in it. You understand that now? Jesus never taught the disciples healing. It just came as a result of the Word. You understand that now? Everything came as a result of the Word. And if you and I are going to see our walk with Christ move ahead, especially in these days, then you and I have to have a centerpiece called the Word of God that everything comes off of. Now, fear has tentacles. But as fear has tentacles, prayer has tentacles. The Word has tentacles. The enemy cannot make anything from scratch. He's got to steal everything. Say steal. That's why the Bible says the thief comes but to steal. Why? Because he can't make a seed. He's got to steal one. You understand that? A couple things about prayer. First of all, this. Prayer is saying the Word of God back to God. And we'll talk a little bit more about it tonight. But one of the key elements when we pray, we should always do it in the name of Jesus. That's what the Word says. So if we invoke the name of Jesus first, and then we say, pray the Word back to God, take a scripture verse of promise that fits the situation you may be going through. We've got Jesus as the Word. We've got the promises, the Word back to. See, everywhere you look, there's Jesus. You can't get away from it. If you wonder why he was after the seed, because he knows that the power that's in the seed, once you and I get a hold of it and put it into our spirits and it comes out of our mouth, he doesn't stand a chance. And Brother Winston was saying today, and he said it so many times, and if I can just bear repeating what he said, originally words were for creation. Think about that. Words were not meant for communication. Words were meant for creation. Can you and I create havoc with our words? Sometimes it's best to keep our mouth shut and not say something and let the thing pass. We can take somebody out with words, or we can build them up and keep them in the game. You understand that now? I think I may have used this so many years ago, and I talked about prayer, but when I was growing up, there was a football player. His name was Jim Brown. He played for the Cleveland Browns. He never wore hip pads. It was incredible. He'd fly like the wind. He'd create his own tornado. And the New York Giants, when they played him, that was the rivalry back then, a long time ago, I don't want to say which century. But anyway, Sam Huff, the inside linebacker, was keying on Jim Brown. So every time there was a play and he'd get the ball, he'd crush him. And as he was getting up, he'd put his hand on him and he said, "Brown, you stink." Every single time. Last play of the game, Browns are behind. Guess who gets the ball? Guess who had the tackle broken on them? Sam Huff. True story now. And just before Jim Brown crosses the goal line, he turns around and says this, "Hey, Huff, how do I smell from here?" The enemy might want to put pressure on you and say, it's not working, you're never going to make it. You stand up strong and say, you know what, devil, you've already been defeated. I'm going to create out of my mouth words that will create anything and everything the Word of God says belongs to me. Now, how many of you have your Bibles with you? There are so many names for God. There are so many names for Jesus. But there are also, listen, many titles for God. There are many titles for Jesus. So tonight, I'm bringing to the platform three young men who are going to help me for a moment. Are you ready? Gentlemen, illustration, they're going to help me out. Fair enough? Everybody knows the name Babe Ruth. But Babe Ruth had a lot of other names and titles. But his real name is Babe Ruth. God's name is God, the living God. Jesus is Jesus, the Word. But there are so many titles that go along with his name. So help me out now. Give me a name, one of the names for Babe Ruth.
King of Crush.
King of Crush. Who does that refer to? Babe Ruth. But his name is Babe Ruth.
The Great Bambino.
The Great Bambino. Who's that? But it's the Great Bambino.
The Sultan of Swat.
The Sultan of Swat. You got any other ones I didn't give you? Yeah.
The Colossus of Clout.
The Colossus of Clout. Anybody else? That's it? You did very, very well. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. See, there's one name, but many titles. When you call upon the name of Jesus, it says in James, demons run scared just at the sound of that name. So think about this now. You and I are going to pray. We're going to say in the name of Jesus, and then we're going to speak the word out of our mouth. What kind of evil is going to stick around that? But if we don't pray in Jesus' name, and we don't give the word back to God, because that's what activates his word, is when we, by faith, speak his word back to him. Remember what I said last week? That so many times we pray the problem. How many of us have ever prayed the problem? What should we be doing? Pray the answer. I call, especially when I do the Pakistan thing, I always start out with, this is the Holy Bible. I don't just say Bible, I say holy, because I know they understand holy. It's what the Lord told me to do. And I said, this is my answer book. Every time you and I wake in the morning, if there are storms or problems, I speak out of the answer book. God answers prayer. Isn't that something? So when you and I pray, we need to pray the word back to God, first of all, starting with the name of Jesus. Say that now, the name of Jesus. The Lord directed me to give something up and spend that time with him. And I mentioned Sunday, the anointing on my life has increased. So what he told me to do, and I was going to tell the class tomorrow, but there's no class, I'll tell Sunday morning, that the Lord is instructing me to tell you, if you want the anointing on your life to increase, if you want to be a great soul winner, if you want to be a great intercessor, listen now, is there something that you would give up that you really like and you cherish, all kinds of things? Doesn't have to be food. It could be anything. I didn't give up food. So let's say you like to watch a certain program, or you go to the gym at a certain time, or you're on the internet with your friends and your Facebook, all the good stuff. If you would ask the Holy Spirit, listen to me now. This isn't for everybody, because not everybody wants this. If there's something in your life that the Holy Spirit's already been speaking to you about, that it's out of balance, and you'll give it to God. Now listen, I'm old-fashioned, but this is the way it is. You take that time slot, whatever it may be, how long it's between you and God, take your Bible, go sit somewhere. The Bible, Jesus said, go into your closet. Go into a place where it's just you and him, and just let him talk to you, and you talk to him. If you want to see an increase, listen, an increase in the anointing on your life. Some of us have buried dreams and visions because we're so busy running around doing all kinds of things, but God wants our undivided attention. We are in an arena right now in the age we're in, this particular moment, where everything is falling apart all around us. We can't be just coming to church when the doors open, throw a few hands up and praise God, and that's not going to do it. It's what we're going to be doing on a daily basis in our time with God, because if we go to Him and we begin to speak the word back to Him in the name of Jesus, listen, and sometimes just sit quiet, your life will be changed. The Lord told me not to say any stuff. People here already know, and God's got His hand on those things, that's out of balance. I can name all kinds of things. That would be my flesh. I won't do it. There needs to be balance, listen, not only in our natural walk, but in our spirit man. You can't get enough on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or a Thursday morning, even as good of a preacher I am. It just, you know, it's like, okay. There's not enough from one man that you can feed on all day and all night and through the week. It's got to be something that you're able to get on your own, which is going to make you stronger than ever before. And what, listen now, some of you are shy about telling people about Jesus. It's going to be so strong on you that people are going to be coming to you. What we just read about Smith Wigglesworth, there was preachers came up to him, not the one in the trolley car, but another one. Listen to this. This is a man who was a plumber, and he raised I don't know how many people from the dead. A plumber. Go ahead.
He got on a train, in the train car, and the car was full of ministers. And when he walked and sat down, they looked at him and said, "Sir, you convict us of our sins." And they got on their knees, and they all began to cry out to the Lord and to pray and to ask God to change their lives. But he hadn't said one word. He just walked in and sat down.
They came to him. I want people to come to you because you have the answers. I know I'm supposed to be talking about prayer, but I think I am. God wants more of you than ever before, not just for you, but because there are such perilous times, and perilous has given birth to perilous, that people have nowhere to turn. They're going to start turning to you and to me. The same way we turn to the Word of God for answers, they're going to be turning to us for answers. I heard this, I just heard this in my spirit. I don't know if I'm ready for that, Pastor. I got news for you. It's either never, it's right now. It's not going to be tomorrow or the next day or the next day. When you leave this place, you and God have to have a conversation and say, "I heard what the pastor says, and I don't know that I can do it, but with the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to give myself and let the Holy Ghost lead me." There are people in your neighborhood that you don't know. There are people in my neighborhood I don't know. But as soon as we come up, listen, with the anointing of God increasing because we're giving special time to God, all of a sudden those neighbors are going to become known. We had family just move up from New Jersey, saw the New Jersey plates. I don't know if they're going down to Jersey, coming back in the weekends. I don't know. But I said, "God, give me an opportunity to at least go over to the house." So I'm pulling up to my house, and I saw their car pull in the driveway. They're starting to take groceries out. You know what I said? "Oh, not now, God." I said, "Hey, how are you? My name is Paul, and my wife's Carolyn. We live down the street." And he had a Yankee hat on. His name was Paul. I said, "It's my name too. Aren't we so happy?" I broke the ice because I did what the Holy Spirit said to do. Now, the next thing may be a wave. Maybe the next thing will be something else. But the door was opened by the Holy Ghost because I said, "I want the opportunity to tell this man about Jesus." The door's open, but what's going to happen? I don't know, but it's a great mystery. I like mysteries. How about you? I'm telling you, God wants more of you. He's not satisfied with the little bit that we're given to Him. He wants more of us. If there's more of Jesus in us, then we'll be more effective. How many of you will do this for one whole week? Go like this. "I'm going to do it for 1 week starting tomorrow." Then you email the church 1 week after you start and watch the testimonies when we start reading them back to you. I'm telling you, it's going to be explosive on your part. We say this expression sometimes misunderstood. We say, I'm waiting on God. God's waiting for us to open our mouth and create what he has on the inside of us to explode. Amen. Say explode. Glory to God. How many of you are ready for a little excitement? Amen. You may want to go to the party store and buy some of those party poppers and just run around out. Oh, to pop them all over the place. Amen? All right, that's good. Everybody got that now? You talk to God, God's going to talk back to you. So let's go over to Mark's gospel. Mark 11. Let's see something that Jesus said about prayer. Fair enough? Look at verse 25. Oh, verse 24, it's better yet. Let's go to 23. Anybody want to go over 22? No, 23. That's good. Let's go to 22. That sounds good. And Jesus, replying, said to them, have faith in God, which literally means have God's faith. And notice in the Amplified, it says constantly. You see, constantly. We learned on our class about dress to kill, about putting on the full armor of God. You know what that means in the Greek language? Staying in unbroken fellowship with the Father. That's how you put the full armor of God on. I know some people run around and they're late for work and they're late for church. They're putting on. No. It means if you stay in unbroken fellowship with the Father, you stay in unbroken fellowship with Jesus and the Holy Ghost, then the full armor is on you. Say amen. How many of you know there are many relationships, even though they say they're friends or there's a marriage going on, they're not in unbroken fellowship. There's too many other things that are splitting the relationship on. You and I, God is waiting for us to have unbroken fellowship. Well, what can break my fellowship up with God? Being so busy that busy got pregnant and had triplets. You and I didn't have enough time with just busy, but now there's a whole family of busies running around. I'm telling you, Jesus said this in Matthew's gospel, seek first the kingdom of God. What is he saying? He's got to be number one. I rented a truck for the guys tomorrow to take the chairs, and while I was in there, you know, I signed the papers and all that stuff. It takes longer, I think, to sign all the papers as get the truck. It was a man who was leaving. He's going to be going to another job. He goes from one job to the other. He's got enough money, just likes to be working. And I heard him say, you know, I'll see you, I'll come back. And I looked at him and said, sir, make sure you maintain your purpose. I couldn't let that thing get by. He looks at me and said, what'd you say? I said, don't ever lose your purpose. I said, when the snow is still on the ground, the tulips will come up right through the snow. They have a purpose to show up in the spring. Nothing is going to stop them from getting their place in the springtime and bring beauty. I thought he'd come over and talk more, but he didn't. But I put, what I do? I put some seed. Say seed. All right? Now, how many of you know when Jesus says something, it's very important for us to listen to him? Fair enough. Listen to what he says. Go to verse 22. Jesus replied saying, have faith in God or God's faith. Truly, I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. So you can't have doubt. You've got to have faith. Where does faith come from? Faith comes from the word, hearing the word. And what does it mean in the Greek? Hearing and hearing. So it's a repetitious thing. Here we go now. Look at the next verse. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, we're talking about prayer, aren't we? Whatever you ask for in prayer, what does the word ask mean? To put a demand on something that belongs to you. Fair enough? You're not making God become a puppet. He's got this in there. Jesus said this, but we have to understand ask means put a demand on the word of God because those promises are ours. Fair enough? All right. We're not forcing God to do anything. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe. What did the verse before say? If you doubt. So what's the opposite of doubt? Is to believe and believe it in your heart. Fair enough? Believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. Here comes Oh, here we go now. Oh, boy. 25. And whenever you stand praying. Well, Pastor, I knelt last week and prayed. It means when you pray. Stand, kneel, run. I don't care when you do it or how you do it. It just means God's got your attention when you are praying. Fair enough? Jesus is saying this now. We should listen. When you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone. You know, Pastor, I've been praying. The prayers haven't been answered. Here's your answer. Should I give you the answer again? When you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. In order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings, and let them drop. I prayed, and sometimes when I prayed, the Lord has brought to me some person that didn't cross my path the right way. Sometimes I had to stop praying early on in ministry because I don't want to deal with that. What does it say? When you're praying. See, that's the time to deal with it. Not later, because it's too late. Deal with it then, because the Holy Spirit is bringing it to the surface, because unforgiveness will stop the power of God in your life and in my life. It's not easy. What did Jesus do from the cross? Let me just quick question. We're almost done here. How many of us have been crucified here? Nobody raised their hand. You probably have with words, but I mean a real crucifixion. Anybody here? No? How many of us have ever been whipped with a whip with glass and shreds of metal in it? How many of us have had a crown of thorns put on our head? How many have ever had nails driven through your hands or in your feet? I haven't. I'm sure you haven't. A real crucifixion. But just before Jesus gives up his spirit, he looks down from the cross of Calvary and he sees those that did this to him and he says this, Father, forgive them. Why? They don't know what they're doing. So when somebody crosses us, if I can use that term, we say, you know what? I have to realize that they don't know what they're doing. Because if they're lost without Christ, that's their normal. But if we would learn what Jesus said, because none of us have been crucified, that what we respond in everything that takes place is forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing, because what they did is their normal. Not our normal. Our normal is to forgive. Jesus said that now. I'm going to close with this verse. Can I read it again? I think something wants to be said by the Holy Ghost to you. Whenever you stand praying. So what's Jesus expecting from us? To pray. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. In order that your Father who's in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings, and let them drop. I end with verse 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your failings and shortcomings. How many of you are going to take the challenge that the Holy Spirit gave us? See, all of us know as soon as I said that what he's talking about in your life. Every one of us is different. He wants more of you. If you'll give him more of you, then more of him is going to come and explode in your life. One whole week. I mean, if you know it's going to be a challenge, but you're not doing it. The Holy Ghost is doing it through you. One of the names for the Holy Spirit is what? He's my helper. What does that mean? He helps me. Say he helps me. I can't do it alone, but through the help of the Holy Ghost, I can. Amen. We love you and appreciate you. Have a great evening.